Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Melinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Progressive Medical.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, in the area, it says a lot to be boasting the oldest family-owned Italian restaurant in the Atlanta area, opening in 1968 and still going strong. And on the show, we tend to bring you a lot of new restaurants, but Nino's was on our radar and we had to highlight it for you. Well, David Danzig ate there and said, Belinda, you have got to try this restaurant. So I did.
Yeah.
And we said, this family is so interesting, not just the food, but the family itself is so interesting. We had to bring everybody in and talk to them. So we have Tony. And Tony, I'm not even going to attempt your last name.
Noviello.
Noviello.
Tony Noviello.
Tony.
N-O-V-I-E-L-L-O.
Noviello. Could I pass with that?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I think you got
and
it.
Your beautiful daughter, Allie.
Yes, and Alessandra is the full name.
But yeah.
Alessandra, and you have dishes named after you.
Yeah, and my sisters, and my mom.
And Helen's in here for support, waving. And so, David, do you want to tell us some of your finer points that you started out with at the restaurant?
Well, I grew up here, and I know I remember restaurants through the decades, of being in Atlanta. But just to have a restaurant that's been in the same place for 50 years is just staggering. And like you said, Atlanta's all about the new restaurants and the new and the new and the new. And, Nino's is on Cheshire Bridge. And it is the place where if you want to teleport back to old world and the way restaurants used to be, where dishes are consistent, like a metronome, where everything comes out and you go because nothing is gonna, shake your cage. It's just the exact way you recall and you adore these dishes. And the servers are happy to be there. There's no man buns or tattoos.
And they know the dish inside and out.
Nino's is just, in my experience, it's just a place like you will feel love and there's a familial, the family is truly, this is one of those special places where it is passed down. And it's just incredibly special. So I was like, you have to go there. And 50, their 50th birthday, it's beyond special.
Well, I did something that I rarely do, and you urged me to do it, and Allie, their daughter, kind of urged me to do it, and I'm so glad I did. Just kind of let the chef drive the bus.
Yeah.
And let the chef pick out what we eat for the evening. And I'm so glad I did, because I tried things that I normally wouldn't try on the menu, like the octopus salad special. That was delectable, and I would never have tried that. And tell us a little bit about that.
The octopus, it's first of all, comes from Spain, and that's one of the best area from the type of mollusk, I would call.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little difficult to work with. You have to blanch it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have certain technique to make it come soft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But once you went through that, it is a delicious dish because it's not, the flavor is mild.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It is a very mild texture. So I love it. I personally love it.
Yeah, he's such an octopus fan, and it is hard to work with. And every time we go out, that's the first thing he looks at on a menu. And so we finally, I said, Dad, it's about time. We're bringing this in. So we ordered it, and we're going to make it a staple on our menu. So we're excited.
Do you guys also stay true to old school cooking techniques? Like a lot of chefs now will sous vide an octopus to kind of break it down. And it's not cheating. It's fair, but certainly they didn't have sous vide cooking back in the day.
Yes, I believe in an old-fashioned way. Everything we do, still we do it the old-fashioned way of preparation. We do all our sauces. We bring in fresh veal. We break it down. We use the bones for stock. Mm-hmm. We make our own demi-glace. Everything is, we bring our own whole fish. We cut up every day and butcher. Nothing comes packaged. Everything comes fresh, so the old-fashioned way.
And nothing's wasted, is it?
And we don't waste much at all. No, nothing. So we use, if you want to make a little soup with the fish bones, we do. Otherwise, we discard that. But chicken stock, veal stock. So all that is prepared daily,
And it shows. I mean, it definitely shows in the food.
It shows in the flavors. If you notice at times, and when I go to restaurants, next day I don't feel that sharp. And it's because they use sodium, a lot of sodium.
Mm-hmm.
MSG. We try not
preservatives.
Sort of make the food come out more flavorful. We don't. We try to use the natural way. And so when you eat aninos next day, you feel pretty good.
You feel good during and after.
Next day.
But that's what's great. Like you go into that dining room and one thing I noticed was not everybody, but most people either had the look about them like they were regulars, or I watched them come in. They hug, you were giving out hugs. Like it's really, you really thrive on your regulars, right? Because
just yesterday afternoon, the phone rang. I pick up the phone, and this gentleman, I'm not going to name him, but he said, can I come in tonight for four people at 7 o'clock? We said hello. I say, yeah, sure you can. He said, I was there last night. I have to come back tonight, too.
Yeah.
I understand. After the a couple of dishes that I had, that would be absolutely...
They're crave-worthy. You kind of have a... I was eating the other night, I was telling my wife, it's kind of like an epic romance novel as you go through the courses.
Unfolds.
I mean, it unfolds and you have... there's emotion in the whole experience.
Tony, I have to ask you, so how did you get started in cooking? Because you made your way to Monte Carlo and then to Bermuda, where you met your lovely wife, Helen, so then to Atlanta. So how did the chef part work into this?
Well, I started home with my mother in our kitchen. When I was a young child, I used to get up first thing in the morning in the summertime, and I would go and I grew up by the ocean, so pick up seafood on the rocks of the mm-hmm. ocean. There's a little shell, and bring it back home and let my mother make a sauce with that. And I was pretty good in the water too. I used to go and spare octopus or fish and bring it back home. She would cook it, And I was only about 10, 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
My father got a bar, very little food, but I ran it for a couple of years. So I was in the bar industry already at 12 years old, believe it or not.
Believe it.
Yeah, and long days and 7 days a week. But then we moved to Monte Carlo, and I started working at the Hotel de Paris, SBM, that's a company that mm-hmm. owns by the Prince. And so I was in the front of the house most of the time. And then I went to Bermuda in 72. Worked for Castel Arbor for six, seven years, and then worked for the Princess for another couple of years. The Waterlot Inn was the restaurant, I-scale restaurant. And then I came to the United States, meet Helen on the beach one day, and she helped me out. She was my lawyer and helped me out to get a green card, and I officially came with a green card in the United States. I was number one on that special green card that did never expire. Eventually got married after I bought the restaurant in 82, got married in the next year, and here we are, 37 years later, 35,
And it's really in the blood, too, and so, Allie, you're obviously Tony's daughter, and you're very integral. I mean, your family is very integral in the whole operation, and that's just amazing to see that it keeps going down to the next generation. So you're going to change everything, right?
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, I was invested from a young child. I was 6 years old running around wanting to help pour water and wanting to help hang coats. And customers were calling Tony like, why is your six-year-old working there? And he's like, I promise she wants to be here. And but yeah, the minute I started kind of part-time when I was 14 at the door, I just kind of never left. You know, I grew a big interest for it. We love it. And the true thing to carry this on as he retires is we're going to keep it true. You know, we're going to keep it family oriented. I have the best consultant to call on every day to have it. He's never going to leave the building. You know, as much as he says he's going to retire, he's going to be in there probably a couple hours every day. And, you know, we're excited. We're going to carry it on, and we're just going to kind of fine tune everything we do and keep it, you know, authentic. And that's just our big goal.
That's the best you could possibly do. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes.
I know you've got a pot of stock boiling in the kitchen ready for the next service, but we'll keep you just for a few more minutes. You're listening to Atlanta Living, where we're speaking with Tony and Allie and from Nino's off Cheshire Bridge Road. And it's a restaurant that if you haven't been there, it definitely needs to make it to your I want to do list, because it will change your view of Italian food for the rest of your life. It has mine. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Nino's and Tony and Allie. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. I'm in the studio with Nino's oldest family-owned Italian restaurant in Atlanta. That would be Tony
Noviello.
In Union, that would be Tony and Allie Noviello. It's been operating since 1968, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And Tony, I wanted to ask you, are there a few dishes on the menu that just are really close to your heart?
Well, as an Italian, I love my pasta.
I love your pasta. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So some of the dishes, like a fettuccine, Nino's fettuccine with smoked salmon, a little bit of tomato and a touch of cream, is a delicious dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple to make, but through the years, people love it.
Mm-hmm.
Pasta, infused pasta, like a spaghetti peperoncini. Spaghetti peperoncini has a little texture of a little red pepper inside the pasta. And when you taste the pasta, it's got a little tingling in your mouth. Not very spicy, but a little tingle. And we make that with just very simple with artichoke, grilled artichoke, fresh shrimp, little garlic and olive oil. Toast it, fresh parsley, and beautiful dish. Simple, light, and delicious.
Now, who is that named after?
This we name it after Eva, my granddaughter.
Okay.
Who she's four.
Yeah, my daughter.
Oh, how adorable.
Alessandra's daughter.
And she's working the tables a little bit too now, right? She's like telling people to come back.
Yeah,
and
she has a little attitude. She's a cutie.
Taken after her mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says, thank you very much. Enjoy your meal.
Okay, do you have another dish you want to share?
Well, I love fresh fish, like we bring in some nice black grouper daily. We cut it up ourselves, and I love that simple fish that we pan sear it, and top it with a little fresh tomato, capers, black olives, and a little white wine, and top it with that. It's delicious. Yes.
It sounds
very fresh, very simple. Fresh, very light sauce, and everything, all the items are fresh. I love that. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your talents with us for the past 50 years, and we look forward to the next 50.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, David, thank you for introducing
Absolutely.
Us to Nino's and bringing it to the radar.
Get on it.
All right, you've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Progressive Medical.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Grilling is the world's oldest and most universal cooking method, using the power of fire to unlock bold, irresistible flavors. So now it's time to start playing with fire with my next guest, Stephen Reichlin. He is the James Beard Award-winning New York Times bestselling author, who is the host of the acclaimed PBS cooking show, which I absolutely love, that shaped the country's fixation of live fire cooking, including his latest project, Smoke. That's his latest book, which debuts this summer. And I've been looking through the cookbook, and I'm absolutely starving right now because the pictures are incredible.
Well, thank you.
So let's talk about grilling. And people get the difference between grilling and barbecuing messed up all the time.
Absolutely. So grilling is a direct high heat method, very quick. You use it for steaks, chops, chicken breasts, vegetables, anything that cooks quickly over a high heat. True barbecue is an indirect method. The fire is away from the food, the temperature is much lower, and the cooking time is measured in hours or half days instead of minutes. What you might barbecue is a whole brisket, a pork shoulder, ribs. The essence of barbecue is wood smoke. Now, not all smoked foods are barbecue. Think about pastrami or bacon or smoked salmon. I mean, these are all foods that are smoked, but they're not barbecue.
Okay. All right. That makes it a little easier to understand. Now, when we're talking...
It does.
Go ahead.
And Project Fire is primarily about grilling.
Okay, about grilling, not barbecuing.
Correct.
Or smoking.
Correct.
Now, when we talk about grilling, kind of one-on-one, how to choose your grill, there are so many out there. That offer so many different accessories and options. How do you choose the best grill for your needs?
Well, first of all, it's a sort of a complicated formula of depending on your grilling personality. You know, if you're more convenience-oriented, you may want to go with a gas grill if you like the process of building a fire and moving the coals from hot spots to cool spots. You may want to go with a charcoal grill. Charcoal grills are certainly more versatile because it's easy to smoke on a charcoal grill and it's more challenging to smoke on a gas grill. But at any rate, in the first chapter, I show you all the different kinds of grills, you know, and even if you're a gas griller, you may want to have a charcoal grill, inexpensive charcoal grill, handy for smoking.
Now, there's a type of grill that you mentioned here that I've never heard of. Is it plancha?
A plancha grill, yeah. This is a new style of grill. So a plancha is basically a griddle. And the way plancha grilling works is you heat this griddle on your grill, preferably a charcoal-burning grill. You add wood chunks or chips to the coals. You generate a smoke flavor. It's really great for cooking fragile foods like fish fillets or small foods like individual scallops or mushrooms. So that's a plancha grill. It's great for entertaining too.
Now there's this revolutionary new technique such as salt slab grilling that I've heard about, that I've seen in stores. It seems very very over my head.
You know what? It shouldn't be. It's super easy. There is a salt mountain in the Himalayas, in the Pakistani Himalayas. They cut these salt slabs, which just look like a white slab of salt. You know, could be square, could be rectangular. You place them on the grill, indirect grilling, and then on top of that, you might place a whole fish, which normally sticks to the grill grate, but not to a salt slab. Or one of my favorite dishes, it's a dessert in the book. It's called salt slab grilled chocolate brownie s'mores.
Oh, my gosh.
And what you do, you know, it's kind of a twist on the old, campfire s'more. But instead of using graham crackers, you use chocolate brownies. It's super premium chocolate. There's shredded mint. There's Grand Marnier. And you cook it on a salt slab. You know how a little pinch of salt in a dessert sort of brings out the sweetness?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what's happening with the salt slab.
So does the heat from the grill radiate up through the salt and give it its heat source?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. You need to take your time warming it up. But once it's warm, it's great for grilling fish and brownies. Like I said, there's another really cool recipe where you take acorn squash, cut it in half, and grill it cut side down on the salt slab. So the squash absorbs some of that salt flavor, and then you turn it over to finish the squash. It's very cool. You know, planking sort of became popular, cedar planking, about 10 years ago. And I would say this is the new cedar plank. But it's only one of many alternative grilling techniques in Project Fire. I mean, you'll learn how to grill mussels in hay, which actually catches fire and smoke. You'll learn how to grill with a blowtorch using blowtorch rosemary on top of a veal chop. Gives you a wonderful flavor.
Oh, wow. Well, I know that I only cook the entree on a grill. I'm very limited. Is there a way to cook an entire meal on my grill?
You bet. You could start with a grilled appetizer like chorizo grilled dates in the opening chapter, or perhaps grilled shrimp kebabs. You would definitely grill your main course. That could be spit roasted prime rib, or it could be a dry brine filet mignon. Of course, you're going to do your vegetables, and that might be everything from a caramelized onion and cheese stuffed grilled baked potato. Might be kale grilled in the Thai style of Thailand, which brushed with sesame oil, and it gets all crispy on the grill.
Wow.
Grilled dessert, we talked about one already. There's a mango macadamia nut crisp, which is amazing. You're down in Atlanta, so I would be remiss if I did not mention cinnamon grilled peaches, grilled on cinnamon sticks with a bourbon brown sugar butter glaze. And I even have you covered in the cocktail department.
Oh, now.
Because there are two grilled. Now I have your interest.
Now yeah. I'm
because
listening.
Because we have two grilled cocktails. One is a grilled citrus sangria, where you grill the citrus fruit before you make the sangria. The other, it's a grilled peach Bellini, Bellini being that sparkling wine and peach puree cocktail so popular in Venice.
That sounds delicious. Now, one of the problems I have when I grill, and I know a lot of people share this problem with me, is when they're grilling, the food is sticking to the grill grates. Now, does that mean that it's not done, or I just didn't prep my grill grates well enough?
Well, it could be either, but I'm going to bet you didn't prep the grill grate well enough.
Okay.
We have a simple three-step process that goes: keep it hot, keep it clean, and keep it lubricated. That is, start with a hot grill grate, clean it with a stiff wire brush or a wooden scraper, and this is very important, oil it with a folded paper towel dipped in vegetable oil,
okay,
or even a half onion dipped in vegetable oil, impaled on your fork and rubbed across the bars of the grate. And that, what that will do is that will prevent sticking. But you mentioned not waiting enough too, and that's another important point. You know, foods will tend to stick when they first go on a grill, but if you wait a minute or two, they'll come back up. So do be patient.
Okay. Now, you say avoid flare-ups. Flare-ups, is that a bad thing? Because I have lots of flare-ups when I'm grilling.
Well, a controlled flare-up that you do on purpose can be a good thing for caramelizing the exterior and giving you a smoke flavor, but flare-ups of the kind that burn your food are not good.
Okay.
Simple solution to that, and that is do not overcrowd your grill grate. Leave a quarter of the grill grate food free. That way, if you get a flare-up, just simply move the food to dodge the flames, wait for the flare-up to die down, and you're in business.
Now, what is your favorite meat or seafood to grill right now? What are you into?
Well, I love to grill everything. That's a little bit like asking about my favorite child.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I'm up here on Martha's Vineyard. We get terrific harpoon swordfish. I love to grill that over a wood fire with just a little fried olive butter to go on top. That's a super simple one. Another one I'm really keen on is the caveman T-bone you see on the cover of the book. So caveman T-bone, you actually lay the steak not on a grill grate, but you cook it right on the embers. This gives you a wonderful, smoky, charred flavor. Also, the wow power, the high drama is off the charts.
Now, marinating. I never know how long I should marinate. And can you over-marinate a meat or a seafood?
Well, the answer is yes, you can. Basically, it's a function of size. Small things like shrimp, marinate very quickly, even 15 minutes to 30 minutes. You know, chicken breasts an hour or two, but large pieces of meat, whole briskets or whole pork shoulders, of course, marinate for much longer. By the way, my website is barbecuebible.com. That's BarbecueBible.com. And on that site, you'll find charts with marinating times, cooking times, you know, as well as
perfect.
In the book. So it things.
All right, perfect. That, and give that website one more time.
BarbecueBible.com. That's BarbecueBible.com. And also, I have a new TV show coming out at the end of the month. It is called Project Smoke. It's the companion show to the Project Fire book. It's the Project Fire TV show. Look for it on PBS starting this Memorial Day.
Oh, that's going to be great. Now, we're getting close to the end, but what is the best way that you like to baste or glaze your meat?
Well, I use a basting brush, and sometimes if it's a simple olive oil lemon juice base, I might actually even use a sprig of rosemary or a bunch of rosemary or thyme tied up with a string.
Mm-hmm.
Basting takes place while the food is cooking, so you want to go easy. You're better basting with savory mixtures. Barbecue sauce, anything with sugar on it, either goes on right at the end or, my preference, on the side.
Because it will burn if you're doing it while
exactly.
cooking. All right.
Exactly.
Stephen Reckling, thank you so much. And this book will be out this summer. It's called Project Fire, along with this television show on PBS. Thank you so much for joining us on the phone.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Belinda Skelton.
And welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It's time again for Breaking Chews. Now, this is our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website BitesAndSights.net, also a food writer for Atlanta Social Season Magazine, and, of course, BelindaSkelton.com. What's up your sleeve today?
Okay. Well, there's a couple of really cool festivals that... that I think should be on people's minds. One is coming up next weekend on May 19th and the 20th, and this is at the Old Fourth Ward Park. That's in kind of the Ponce Highlands area by the old Masquerade.
Yeah.
There's this amazing park back there. There's fountains, and it's sort of meanders between Ponce and North Avenue, but it's this beautiful green space, and you're right there next to Ponce City Market. So this is the Atlanta Margarita and Taco Festival.
Oh, fun.
And I went to a similar festival a couple weeks ago there, and it's all populated by food trucks. So you'll have food trucks. In fact, the group that puts it on is called Foodorama. And so the Atlanta Margarita and Taco Festival, again, that's going to be in the Old Fourth Ward Park at Saturday, May 19th, Sunday, May 20th. 11 a.m. and to 8 p.m. on Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday. It's free. I mean, you buy whatever you want at the food trucks.
But you can get in for free.
So there's another a festival that's going to also be coming up. This is May 26th. It's called The Brew at the Zoo.
I've been there
Have
for
you
that.
Done that before?
It is a blast.
I want to do it this year. So this is a way you can kind of sip along with wildlife. And, you know, my kid is 10 now, but, you know, so I've been going to the zoo a lot.
Yeah.
And you forget how awesome Zoo Atlanta is. I mean, we really have a great zoo. There's going to be 70 selections of beers, limited wine selection, and, you know, it's you know, some bites. It's going to be a really cool thing. So go to Zoo Atlanta, get your tickets. Advance tickets are, you know, you could save a few bucks. And if you're a member, which is also just a great thing to have, you can really save some money. So The Brew at the Zoo, and these are both part of a program that our sister radio stations, B98 and The River, are doing with Mercedes-Benz of Buckhead. And you can go to these and find the Mercedes-Benz of Buckhead booth and nominate your local school to win a $5,000 donation to the school. So
oh, that's a great opportunity.
It's called Star School. And then finally, I just wanted to, you know, really send out some good vibes and some prayers to our buddy Kevin Gillespie. He has renal cancer, they've announced. And the whole restaurant community is kind of rallying around. If you don't know Kevin Gillespie, he has a couple of amazing restaurants. He's got Gun Show, and he has got Revival, and he's got a couple pop-ups. Mm-hmm. But one of the best guys in the business,
yeah.
Kevin Gillespie, we're thinking about you, and we wish you well, and we know you're going to be strong and come through and be back at the restaurants very soon. So
absolutely.
All the best.
All right. Thank you so much. Where can we find you during the week?
My website is bitesandsites.net, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S. And I'm on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever new one's coming up. I'll do that one too.
Okay. Can't wait to talk to you soon. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.